Welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast,
your fish and Marillion podcast,
where we talk about all things in the planet of Marillion and fish. I'm Meza, and here's my mate,
Craig Houston.
Everybody, and welcome to another Planet Marzipan podcast with me, Meza, and
me, Craig.
Here, it's just us two this week, so thanks to our guests of recent weeks, but I'm afraid you just stuck with him and me today. We're going to look at one of Fish's albums. We're going to take a look at Songs from the Mirror and everything around that era. Really, really interesting time in Fish history. We've got lots of memories of gigs. We're going to talk through slightly differently this time. We're going to talk about the recent or not so recent Chocolate Frog reissue of this album, but we're actually going to talk chronologically. So from the beginning of sort of end of 92 into 93.
Back in the Polydor years.
Yeah. Tail end of the Polydor years for Fish. But as usual, we will start with the Wikipedia entry for this album. It's quite short, but Songs from the Mirror is the third solo album by Scottish singer-songwriter Fish, released in 1993 as his final album for Polydor. It does not contain any original material. Instead, it is a cover album featuring Fish's versions of songs by artists who inspired him before his career started. It reached number 46 on the UK album charts. The album was influenced by David Bowie's 1973 covers project, Pinups. So, what are we going to start with, Craig, in this era?
Oh, well, you usually at this point ask us the standard question.
Sorry, yes. How old were you when this came out?
I was 20 when this came out, so this kind of covers my view of this album, because when it first came out, I wasn't that aware of a lot of the songs on there. There's some of them that I knew, but to be fair, the vast majority of them being not exactly a heavy going prog head at the time, which I'm still not.
You mean at the time?
Yes, I'm still not. So I had quite fresh ears for them. So, you know, I wasn't like a Genesis fan going, oh my God, what have they done to them? Yeah. And I know what I like. And especially things like the Floyd cover, which is a bit different. But I loved the album when it came out, and it was kind of like heavy rotation for me back in the time.
Yeah.
Because it was a time where I was at college and spent a lot of time doing late nights on assignments and things and stuff like that, and typing up assignments at 2 o'clock in the morning with this kind of going around my head. It was a very, very go-to album for me at the time.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite Fish albums, if I'm honest.
Yeah, same here.
It's got a lot of stick, though. It divided the fans, didn't it?
It did. It seriously did. But I think there's always that kind of thing when somebody produces a cover versions album, because somebody will say that either the versions are too close to the originals or the via too far off. And I think this had a nice balance to it.
Do you think this is an overhang from the... Because when he was in Marillion, he was pushing the band to do... Is it Geistfahrer?
Yes, the Ghost Driver.
Yeah, the Ghost Driver, covers album. Do you think this is kind of a hangover from those sort of days? That was always in his mind?
It's always been in his mind. I think the songs are probably considerably different to what he would have chosen for that cover versions album. But for this, sticking with the theme of songs that inspired him in his early teen years, rather than like a darker aspect of somebody kind of going to end their life driving the wrong way up a motorway.
Yeah.
But it's funny even to look at this album from a 2023 perspective, because if you look at it, this album's 30 years old now. Now, the songs when this came out were only about 20-odd years old. So we've got actually a further distance of time now from when this was actually released to when the songs actually inspired Fish to do this album.
We're getting old. Well, that's depressing, isn't it? Yeah, thanks for that.
It's getting old.
Yeah, we are getting older. Yes, absolutely. Shall we start with the...
Start at the beginning.
The EP. So in... end of 12th of December, I believe it was, 1992.
Yeah, it was just before Christmas.
Polydor put out a Fish EP called Never Mind the Bullocks.
Hold Your Head Up.
Yeah, which the lead track was Hold Your Head Up, Argent's Hold Your Head Up. I've got the CD single in my hand at the minute. So it's got Hold Your Head Up extended version. Oh, sorry, edited version. Question by the Moody Blues. Hold Your Head Up album version and 5 years on it. And it's kind of got, the sleeve has got the Fish logo, but with just the bottom of the Goodler picture off the album. So just a bit where the fish is and the guy's hand is underneath tickling the fish.
Tickling the trout.
Well, then it's got a sticker in a corner, which has a bull having a poo with a big red cross through it. And it says, Never Mind the Bullocks. It was a bit of a marketing ploy, wasn't it, really?
Yes, and for a few of us getting it explicit, it was the bullshit-free zone.
Yeah.
Which was the advertising campaign, which was a fight back against the pricing of CD singles back in the day.
Yeah, I think Fish, I mean, we're going to kind of touch on some of the things that Fish talks about in the bonus DVD that's with the Chocolate Frog version. He said it was a bit of a campaign against, because Polydor were... The majors were sort of sending CD singles into shops at a quid. But they refused to do it with this. They sent it out, I think he said, at £4, which obviously hampered his chart position.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of the time when the Marillion singles, like from EMI, so yeah, the likes of, I think it was especially the 10th anniversary stuff like Sympathy and No One Can. And that way you could get the 7-inch single for 99p and the CD single and the 12-inch picture disc and that for like £1.99. So there was a bit of price point there to get everybody in to buy whatever version they could. But then there was a lot of the retailers were selling CD singles like our prices and Virgin's for like up to like £3.49, £3.99+. And that was a bit of a sticking point.
The only thing about this being an EP is on vinyl, it was a two-track single.
It was a 7-inch single. Was it a 7-inch single in a cassette as well?
Was it Hold Your Head Up in 5 years, I think?
Yes. Yeah, right.
It's a great version of Question on here, Moody Blues. It was a good sort of trailer for the album. And it's a cracking version of Hold Your Head Up as well.
But, I mean, the production of the whole album is excellent. The original version.
Well, is this the only version, the only Fish album with Kevin Wilkinson on?
Because I remember he did the tour.
But yeah, the lineup on this album, Foss Patterson, Kevin Wilkinson, and Robin and Frank with Davey Payton on bass.
It was a cracking lineup with his band.
Yeah, great band. So that came out in the December, and then in January 93, the original album came out, which is a 9-track album. Question, Boston Tea Party, Fearless, Ape Man, Hold Your Head Up, Solo, I Know What I Like, Jeepster, and 5 years.
Yep. Any particular favourites?
Yeah, quite a few. I think it's a great opening with Question.
Yeah.
I really like the version of Fearless. I didn't grow up in metal, so I kind of went back to metal later on. But I much prefer Fish's version to Floyd. I know that's sacrilege.
You know, I'm actually the same. I hate to say it. And you know, I'm a big Floyd fan. But I really do like this. You've jumped over Boston Tea Party. I love Boston Tea Party. It's a corker. And I actually, we were talking the other day, and you were ready to string us up for saying that I prefer this version to the version that he actually did with the Party Boys. The existing members of Sensational
Likes Harvey Band. Yeah.
I see. That would be a sober.
Who wrote it? Yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, we're jumping around a little bit, but on the Chocolate Frog version, you've got both. So,
yes. You know. Ape, I love it.
Do you?
Yeah. It's always a fun song. That was one of the songs where he tried to get a guest on, didn't he? Because he wanted to get Sean Connery on to do the spoken word.
I don't know. Did
he
he?
did.
I've not heard that
He did.
before.
Yeah. Yeah. He
Okay.
did.
Yeah, I'm not a particular fan of Ape Man. I don't think it's a cracky that good a song, but
It's fun.
it's fun. Yeah, Hold Your Head Up, which we've talked about, but it's a great version. And I have to say, the next track is probably my favourite on this original version of the album. The version of Sandy Denny's solo is just amazing.
Isn't it one of Fisher's favourite songs as well on the
Yes,
album?
it is. Yeah,
So
yeah.
much.
It's so good, and it suits him as well. It suits his voice. It's a beautiful song on this original 9-track album. I think that's my favourite. And then we get to Sacrilege.
Says he wearing a Genesis t-shirt as
yeah,
we
I've
do
got
this
Genesis
podcast.
t-shirt on today. Yeah. So Fish's version of I Know What I Like. It's all right. It's all
Service,
right.
It's serviceable.
I think he said in the documentary he wanted to do a Genesis song and he didn't want to sort of, he wanted to pick something. He didn't want to take on like Cinema Show or something like that.
He didn't want to do something as ready in case Marillion sue him for Grendel.
It is, if you've seen Steve Hackett in recent years, it's a better version than Steve Hackett does at the minute. But, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Jeepster.
It's fun. Again, like Ape Man, it's a piece of pop.
Yeah, he didn't seem that fond of it himself, did he? Because it didn't appear on the next reissue, did it?
No, I took it off for the Roadrunner version.
Yeah, yeah. And then Bowie's 5 Years to End.
It's a cool song.
Not no, a huge Bowie fan, if I'm honest.
I'm not a massive Bowie fan, but I do like this song.
I don't know. It's not a highlight on the album for me.
Yeah, Fish wanted to get a guest on, didn't he, for this one?
Yeah, he tried to get Bowie on for this to play saxophone. Again, sorry Fish to pinch a story from the DVD, but while they were recording, they heard that Bowie was in the area buying antiques. So one afternoon, they tried to get in touch with his agent in America to see if he would play saxophone on 5 Years. I don't need to tell you what the result is because you can't hear him on 5 Years because he's not there.
Not there.
But yeah, it's a nice, you know, it's a quite a concise album in its original form. It's the sleeve.
It's the first one that's non-Mark Wilkinson.
Yeah. He said he deliberately didn't make it a Mark Wilkinson so people didn't think it was original material. It's a painting called The Goodler by Keith McIntyre. And I believe at one point the album was going to be called The Goodler, but
yes.
Because
people it was.
Didn't know what it meant, he kind of changed and moved away from that.
And if you watch Fish on Friday, I think you do occasionally get glimpses because he's still got the picture up in his house, up in Haddington. Right.
And for those of you who aren't looking at the sleeve, goodling apparently is where you...
Trout tickle.
You put your hand in the water with your fingers pointing up so that they act like reeds and keep your hand still. And the fish relaxes, thinking that they're reeds. And then you whip the fish out of the water, is the theory. Never tried it myself.
I was waiting for that.
I've never tried fish tickling, no. That's a direct quote.
Oh, dear.
So that was the sort of the main album that came out in 1993, January 93. There have been a couple of reissues, so...
Yeah, the first reissue was in 98 when he signed that general deal with Roadrunner Records Europe.
Yeah.
And all the discs were given a slight polish.
Well, the track listing's different on this because, as we say, Jeepster's not on it. But there are two bonus tracks. One is The Seeker by The Who, which is originally from the album Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy. Bouncy, even. Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy.
You think the chocolate bars again?
Yeah. And the other is a brilliant version of Time and a Word by Yes, which features Steve Howe. Now, it's Steve Howe's not on the original Time of the World. It's Peter Banks. So he was really pleased to get the chance to record Time and a Word in Fish's studio. And Fish talks again in the documentary a lot about being absolutely gobsmacked to have the great Steve Howe in his recording studio. If he'd have been able to see that as a kid, he'd have not believed it, you know.
Yeah, because they were used originally the Outpatients project, weren't they?
Yeah, so the Fish does talk about the deal with Polydor. So Polydor originally thought that Songs from Mirror would just be an EP, which was the Nevermind the Bollocks. And they demanded an original album to follow it because he only had a 2-album deal with them. And he just carried on recording covers and presented them with that album and an ultimatum that had to be the album. At that point, he also changed managers. He got Brian Lane in. And, you know, when he gets an idea in his head, he generally just goes with it, doesn't he, really?
Yeah, there's full steam ahead.
Quite driven. I mean, he was going through, at the end of 92, he'd finished the Internal Exile tour. He'd had legal battles with Marillion and EMI that had just finished.
But the Internal Exile tour was a bit of a disaster, though, because Bandwagon went down and he lost hundreds of thousands of pounds on that. Because I know my first Fish gig was actually going to be at Newcastle City Hall on the Internal Exile tour, but that was part of the tour that actually went down.
Yeah.
And he managed to scramble and kind of get as many dates salvaged as possible, but unfortunately ours wasn't one of them.
Right. I mean, he was saying that because of all that, his head wasn't in the right place to make an original album. So that's why he went with the covers album. But Polydor really weren't
up for it.
Happy about it, no. Polydor basically told him to sell his house and studio because he was struggling for income. But he managed to get the studio up and running and people came in and hired the studio from him, which gave him a little bit of breathing space. So
it was a very fraught time for him.
Absolutely. But then we said that in the last podcast about a Fish album.
It happens.
I know. But yeah, so the Time and a Word and The Seeker weren't finished at the same time as the album. So that's why they're not on it. And also, he said they'd been playing The Seeker on the Twal tour and getting great responses, but he couldn't get the vocal right. So they recorded the backing track, but he couldn't get the vocal right, couldn't get it where he was happy. So one night he just took something and
a herbal remedy.
Yeah, possibly. And went into the studio and recorded the vocal for The Seeker. And it's a good version. It's a really good version. But yeah, those two tracks, along with an early version of Out of My Life, came out on a Dick Brothers album called Outpatients.
So it was one of the first Dick Brothers releases, wasn't it? Or was it the first? Was it the first Dick Brothers release?
It is catalog number D Dick 1 CD.
Yay! Yes, I thought it was. Yeah,
that was
mail order, wasn't it? When the first came out.
Yeah. It's got Ray Wilson's on it because Guaranteed Pure on it. Swing Your Bag.
And Dream Disciples, supported him on the Suits tour.
Yeah. You've got Fish with Steve Howe, Time and a Word, Dream Disciples, One Eternal, The Joy Riders, The Seeker by Fish, Swing Your Bag by Guaranteed Pure, Traveler's Tales by Avalon, Out of My Life by Fish, Best Friend, Joy Riders, and The Dream is Dead by The Dream Disciples.
So they were artists who had been recording at the Funny Farm, so it was just a collection of unsigned bands and some of his own material.
And there was a, just because I'm showing off to Craig, was a limited edition, numbered edition of 1,000 copies with a gold embossed sleeve.
Did that come out afterwards?
I can't remember. I have number 766.
It was 30 years ago.
It was a long time ago. Yes. During the war.
But yeah. So one of the things that I have a vivid memory of when this album came out was there must have been a fan in our local Warner cinema, as it was back in the day, because for about a month, any time that you were going into the cinema, they were playing this album over the speakers. So you're kind of like going in going, I know this album. And people going, what's this? But it's never forget. And then it was just 5 years was playing and it was about halfway through. Then it faded out to go to the advert. Say, oh, you could at least finish the song.
So the just moving on to the third reissue, which is the Chocolate Frog Records version, which I think came out 2 years ago.
Oh, no. It was about 2017, 2018.
My time's passing quickly here, isn't it?
And you can't, and there's no stock available now, so you can't get it at the minute.
I can't find a year on it.
No, you can't find much on it because the writing's so small.
No. Anyway, yes, it's from a few years ago. It features a 12-track version of the album, featuring all the songs that we've just mentioned. Got a version of Frankie Miller's Caledonia on it, which was recorded for a Frankie Miller tribute. It's a nice version, actually, and it does kind of round the album off nicely. So that's kind of slotted in right at the end after 5 years. It's got a second disc with it, with Something in the Air live in Hamburg.
Which was taken from Toiling from the Reaper Barn.
I will take your word for that. It probably was. Yeah. A demo version of I Know What I Like from 93 and The Seeker from 93. And then you've got 5 tracks from Sushi live album, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Boston Tea Party, Jeepster, Hold Your Head Up, 5 Years and Fearless. Then there's a live acoustic version of Roadhouse Blues, live acoustic Jeepster, and live acoustic solo. And then the version of Boston Tea Party with the sensational Alex Harvey Band from 1995. And strangely, Faith Healer from Nearfest is on here.
Bit of a random.
2008. So it's fairly packed, is the second disc. Nice mix of things. And then disc three is the DVD, which is a 90-minute documentary by Dave Barras and Scott Mackay, a look back at songs from the Mirror. It has got some other bonus things on it as well. It's got a video of the tracks from Utrecht. So it's kind of filmed on two cameras. It's not particularly good quality, but it's nice to see. Just the 5 tracks that we mentioned there. It's got the video for Hold Your Head Up. It's also got a version of Solo from Cropredy with Fairport Convention, which is really nice to see. So, yeah, it's a fairly packed DVD. If you can get a copy of it or if he reprints it, I would definitely recommend it. It's the best way of getting all the songs that are on the original album. But the DVD's great. It's 90 minutes long. So it's another really honest, as everything is with Fish, really honest sort of summary of what happened. It's worth seeing for the stories he tells about the very last day on the tour. So they added a day in Caister at one of the holiday parks. And there's some really good stories on the end, which I won't spoil for you. You really should watch the DVD. But it sounds like the end of the tour was quite eventful.
So he won the Knobbly D's contest. Is that what it was?
No, it involves wardrobe racing.
I think I've heard that story before.
But yeah, no, it's good. It's really good. So what about gigs around that time, Craig? So the Internal Exile tour finished on the 2nd of... this is 92. Exile tour finished in 2nd of April, 92 at Hammersmith. The Toil tour then began later in April and ran into May and June. I saw Fish at Sheffield City Hall on the 29th of June on that tour. And then Nevermind the Bullocks tour started in February 93 and ran right through into August. I think we were both at the same gig there, although we didn't know each other, weren't we?
Yeah, it was Leeds Town and Country Club.
Yeah, 27th of February.
Yeah, it was a cracking gig. One thing that I can never forget about the start of that gig was Rubicon was supporting them, supporting Phish, and there was a pile of Rubicon fans who decided to kind of throw themselves all over the place and start spinning around and kind of... They nearly got thumped by numerous people.
Okay. That was the infamous Nets tour, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was where the band were positioned behind Phish, behind some kind of like big sprawling fishing nets,
yeah,
and in shadow, and he was out front on his own. But that didn't even last the whole tour, though, did it?
No, again, another story from the DVD is that the band kicked off because they couldn't see each other. The audience couldn't see the band. It really wasn't working for them. So I believe, I don't know how many dates were like that, but certainly Leeds was like that. But a bit shortly into the tour, the band were all moved in front of all these different nets. So they could see each other and they were a lot happier.
I remember it being a good gig. Don't remember that much of the set list, but I remember it being a good gig.
I also saw him at Rock City on April the 4th as well. But before that, the Sushi Live album was recorded in Utrecht on the 17th of March.
So that was after the date that we saw?
It was after, but it was the same set list that we saw. Although I think Poet's Moon was earlier in the set when we saw it, but the set list itself is the same. Have you got any particular views on Sushi?
I like the spread of songs on there. It was funny because at that time we'd actually had a little bit of a plethora of Phish albums with the official bootlegs that he released from
The Battleside one.
The Battleside stuff. So that was stuff from Vigil Tour, Internal Exile Tour, and one of the gigs from Holland in 92, which is what the Something in the Air is from.
Yeah,
on this
Turning the Reaper Bob. Yeah,
Turning the Reaper Bob. And it had a really good mix, and it was interesting that it was the first time that I'd actually seen Phish do a kind of medley.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, was it View from a Hill into He Knows You Know She, Chameleon, then into Kaylee?
Yeah.
Which was cracking. And I think it's the only time that I've actually seen him do She, Chameleon.
Yeah, I mean, it's I dug it because I knew we were talking about this. I dug it out and played it the other night.
Yeah, I did last the weekend.
It's my favorite Phish live album. It's well recorded. He sounds great. The band are great. It's a nice mix. Within it, he talks about the record company were recording the gig for a live version of 5 years to go on the B side of the single. The proposed second single, which never happened. So I presume that's why we've got such a good recording of it. But
it was released quite quickly, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it's, what is it? Fearless, Big Wedge, Boston Tea Party, Credo, Family Business. Then, as you said, the medley, View from a Hill, He Knows You Know, She Chameleon, Kaylee, White Russian, The Company. And then Disc 2 is Just Good Friends, Jeepster, Hold Your Head Up, Lucky, Internal Exile, Cliche, The Last Straw, Poet's Moon, and 5 Years.
It's a cracking set list.
Great. Really good. It's really good. I mean, the Battleside ones were nice and were interesting, but this is just a better recording.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an exciting time to be a Phish fan, I think.
Yep. And this was just before, you know, when everything fell apart with Polydor, and then he kind of decided that he was going to go solo and set up Dick Brothers Record Company, which was a very brave move at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the Outpatients tour started in October, 1st of October, and ran till the 8th of November 93. And that featured a lot of Suits material. So the time that he'd bought himself by doing Songs from the Mirror was well spent. He'd managed to get a fair chunk of the Suits album pulled together to a point where he's playing it live. Do you recall seeing him on that tour?
I didn't get to see that tour because I had a gap from February in 93 and I don't think I got to see him again until into the start of 94.
Right.
Which I think was about the May 94, which was the start of the Suits kind of tour.
I saw him at the Lead Mill in Sheffield in October. I mean, I may have said it. In fact, I did say it on the 13 Star. I say I've got two favourite Fish albums, but I've got three because Suits is up there. So we're moving into a really, really favourite era of Fish for me. But, I mean, Internal, which we'll cover in depth at some point, is a little bit uneven for me. I think Songs from the Mirror is far more an even album. You can play it from start to finish. And then, of course, building up to Suits, which I think is great. Even the dodgy rap, which we'll talk about on that episode. But
no, dummy.
But yeah, it's a really favourite time for me.
Yeah, I mean, the 92, 93 and into 94 period, because 92 was the first time actually I got to see Fish live with the Newcastle Internal Exile gig being blown out. So my first gig was the Andy Field gig at Hammersmith in the March of 92, and yeah, then saw him in Newcastle Riverside a month later, which is funny because you're going from like a couple of thousand plus venue to a small like 400 or 500 capacity club venue, hot and sweaty standing. And I mean, that was the difference with the Songs from the Mirror tour. You know, that was back to like slightly bigger venues.
The Toil tour, I think, was, I mean,
that was a club tour, wasn't it?
Smaller venues, club tour, wasn't it, really? Apart from, weirdly, there's a Sheffield City Hall date right in the middle. I don't quite understand that, but yeah, this was a step. The Mirror tour was a step back into the sort of theatres and the bigger venues.
And didn't he say that was one of his most successful, or it was actually his most financially successful tour, because it wasn't a big production and the venue sold well and he did quite well. Yeah. But then after that, going on to the Outpatients and then into the Suit stuff, it was again back to the smaller venues and the club venues, which he didn't really seem to kind of, in the UK at least, kind of get back out of for a long, long time.
No, absolutely. It's time for my favourite slot.
Yeah, how do we do Just for the Record when you only got a 7-inch single? Have you actually got this on vinyl?
I haven't got it on vinyl. I'm going to cheat. It's time for Just for the Record without the record. I'm looking on Discogs at my ones list. I don't have a copy of Songs from the Mirror on vinyl.
It did come. Did it come out? It did come out on vinyl, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Came out in Europe and in the UK. It's currently for sale on Discogs from £65.60. It's higher. The highest it's ever sold for is £112.21, and the lowest is £30. But so, if there's anybody out there with a copy that's in decent nick and for sale, please contact us at planetmarzipanpodcast@gmail.com, because I would love to have a copy of this album on vinyl. I don't think Fish is ever going to reissue this on vinyl, but I could be wrong.
To be fair, this, considering that this is actually sold out now, this version of it, the 3-disc version of it, it would make sense for him to go back and what he's done with 13th Star and just revisit the rest of the albums.
But even if he does, this is going to be at the end of the queue, isn't it?
Probably.
You know.
Depends on how much work it's going to take.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't have a copy of this. I'd love one, but I don't have one. I don't even have a copy of the 7-inch single, so there you go.
Will I have a look in my vinyl box for you?
Yeah, please, yeah. But no, it's a fairly basic copy. I think it's got a inside picture sleeve, but I don't have it to tell you about. But I've still got to do Just for the Record. That's what we do.
Just for the record, without the record.
Just for no record. So, any final thoughts then on Songs from the Mirror?
It just reminds us, it's similar to like what we're talking about last week with Holidays in Eden. That whole period, basically from like 1990 through to, well, in fact, most of the 90s, was just such an exciting time for the band, for between Fish and Marillion as well.
Yeah.
You know, there was a good amount of releases. You know, you're not waiting 6 or 7 years between releases. You know, you just think how lucky you were.
Did you get anyone in particular there?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, come on. Younger bands are, you know, popping out albums every couple of years. Nowadays, just...
Excuse me, Peter Gabriel. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel, Pink Floyd, the other likes of them, you know.
Well, new Gabriel album's here, but how many years is it since last one?
I'm just releasing it a track at a time, just a bit.
It's fine by me, because they're all sounding fantastic, so I don't mind.
Yeah, they are. I really enjoyed that gig that I went to see, but we'll digress.
Yes. So, we didn't do this last time.
Genius.
Hang on. Apologies to people who don't understand the concept of genius or bollocks, but the potted version of this is you just have to decide whether an album or a track is genius, as in it's great, or it's bollocks, as in it's not very good. So, Songs from the Mirror, genius or bollocks?
Genius.
Genius from me as well.
That was hard.
It was, wasn't it? That was difficult, that one. Yeah.
No shades of grey.
No. So, thanks very much for listening.
To our tribe.
To more of our inane babble. We're really loving the feedback that we're getting, guys and girls. We would love some reviews, please. If you wouldn't mind just taking a few seconds and putting a review on your podcast provider, that would be fantastic. We'd love some more emails. We'd like to do in the not too distant future, we'd like to do a listeners' emails or a listeners' comments. And we've got, all being well, a very special podcast coming up for you next week, which we're not going to tell you about yet. That's right, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I don't know if you are.
I am, yeah, I am. So, without further ado, thank you for listening. It's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Take care.
And stay alive.
Hi, guys. As we recorded this episode in mid-October, the physical copy of Songs from the Mirror is still available on fishmusic.eu. It's out of stock on fishmusic.scot, but is still available on fishmusic.eu. Of course, if you do want to buy the physical version, it is available to listen on most of the streaming services.